Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Flint, Michigan, and earned a BS in Health, Physical Education and Recreation from Lipscomb University and an MA in Sports Administration from Wayne State. He joined Rochester College in 1971 and has been a professor, men's head basketball coach, dean of students, and director of athletics. He was also a minister for the Lake Orion Church of Christ for 30 years. The author of Don't Be Afraid to Stub Your Toe. His name, Garth Pleasant. That's his real name. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Garth Pleasant, who's been a coach, preacher, husband, father, grandpa, professor, friend, and a world-class storyteller. Garth, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's great to be here.
Can we start by you leading us in an opening prayer?
Be glad to. Eternal Father, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful for the blessings that you bestow upon us. And Father, I pray that as we live our life, that when other people see us, they might see Jesus living in us. And when we see others, we might see Jesus in them. In His name we pray. Amen.
That was Garth Pleasant. Garth, let's start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad.
Okay, I was born in Flint, Michigan. In 1949, Hurley Hospital. My dad grew up in southeast Missouri, and he was the son of my grandparents were sharecroppers. They never owned a thing. And my dad was a military police in World War II, guarded prisoners in China. And when he came home from the service, he heard there was work in Michigan. And him and a friend traveled up, and he applied at Buick and Chevrolet the same day and was offered a job at both places. And he took the job at Buick, where he spent his life working. My mother grew up in Flint, Michigan, and my grandfather was an employee at Chevrolet for over 40 years. And I grew up in a rural setting. We had a garden that was close to an acre, a barn, chicken coop, and even a two-seat outhouse. We did have indoor plumbing, but as a little boy, we enjoyed the outhouse, but my dad didn't enjoy that too much. But we raised our food, our vegetables and things, and fruit, and just had a great time growing up, and lived in a little maybe 800 square foot house with one bathroom. And my sister's bedroom was a height of bed in the living room until my ninth grade year, and they added another bedroom.
What's the biggest thing, Garth, you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
You know, I did the eulogy at both their funerals, and my mother, it was just, she was such a happy person. No matter the circumstance, my mother was full of joy, and I still miss her beautiful singing voice, and she was such an encourager, and she just really was an upbeat person. At my dad's funeral, I used the word integrity, to describe his life. I can remember as a little boy walking out of a store, and he turned around and went back in because the lady had given him like a nickel too much change. I recall him sitting with a man in the hospital, a complete stranger who was dying of the same disease that took my dad's life. And the man was sick, and my dad held a towel for him. And I asked my dad, I said, "Why do you do that? You don't even know him." And my dad said, "It's the right thing to do, Garth." And so he taught me about integrity. And those, I think, were the two greatest lessons I learned from them. And then work ethic. Both of them just really had great work ethics.
Who taught you and who gave you your love for sports and specifically basketball?
Oh, it would have been my father for sports. My father was an umpire in Flint, Michigan for probably 40 years. And they have those old film, 16 millimeter, whatever they were, of him playing ball with me. And basketball, I would have to contribute to my high school coach, Coach King. It was a school that was known for basketball. We had a record of 3 years where we were undefeated in our league play, and Coach King was even more than a coach. You know, he just a great person, and I still stay in touch with him to this day.
You graduate from Lipscomb with a BS in Health, Physical Education, and Recreation.
Yes.
And then you find this college in Rochester, Michigan, and you become a professor in 1971 at Rochester College. How so?
Well, you're going to like this. It was a junior college back then known as Michigan Christian College, Michigan Christian Junior College. And I attended there also. And I met a young lady while I was there, who happened to be the daughter of the president. So after I graduated...
Wait. Okay. You know this thing with the Hollywood mothers buying the... You weren't buying the grades for the daughter, were you?
No, absolutely not. She was the homecoming queen. I was mesmerized by her, smitten, when I first saw her, not knowing who she was. And it happened that after I graduated, a position came open for a position teaching physical education there. And it was, you know, I guess he felt that being the president, he had a right to hire who he wanted to.
And that girl that you dated is now your wife.
48 years this August.
And she's still teaching you.
She is still the real Hall of Famer in our family.
Well. All right, we're talking to Garth Pleasant. When we come back, we're going to ask him about Rochester College because he's still there 48 years later as a professor.
Yes.
And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Garth Pleasant, who since 1971 has been a professor at Rochester College. That's 48 years. Tell us about Rochester College.
Well, Rochester College is a real love to me. And I feel like I couldn't have a better job. Again, I've been there. I started working there in 1971. It is a faith-based college, and it's my ministry. I've always viewed it as my ministry. It's how I serve the Lord every day, not only teaching kids in the classroom, but maybe more important, trying to disciple them. And I've always used the phrase, and I'm not sure where I heard it, but when players would ask me, you know, how good are we? And I would say, well, ask me in 20 years when I see how, what kind of father you are, husband you are, various things like that. And I believe Rochester College has allowed me, you know, that avenue to work with young people and never compromise my faith.
If you want to learn more, www.rc.edu.
Yes.
All right, Garth, paint for us a picture of the student 48 years ago back in 1971.
longer hair, longer sideburns, bell-bottom pants, girls, shorter skirts, and but, you know, I'm not sure if kids overall have changed that much since 71. I think parents have changed a lot since then. I just think kids, when they know that you care about them, really will put trust in you.
A few years ago, we had a man, Dr. Joe White. Him and his wife have run Kanakuk Ministries in Missouri for 45 years. Mm-hmm. They get thousands of kids to come every summer. And Dr. Joe White said, a boy is the only thing God can use to make a man, and a girl is the only thing God can use to make a woman. Please.
Okay. Well, that's can be a sort of a touchy subject on with today's views in our world. I do believe that I work mainly with young men. And I do believe that I've had the opportunity, responsibility, to help train them in becoming men in our society who are productive. I would tell kids, you know, maybe they were struggling in their dating relationship. And I heard this many years ago by a man who was very influential to me, like, get your divorce before you get married. You know, various things like that. And so I have always tried to lead young men down a way where this is what is really important in life. John Horse reminded me, John is the general manager for the Milwaukee Bucks, and John played in our program. And when they were here playing the Pistons, he mentioned to me in my office that he had related to others that every day after practice, we concluded with a prayer. And he said, every day you told us to always make good decisions. And I'm not sure there's anything more important in life than the decisions that we make in becoming young men and young women.
Speaking of making good decisions, Garth, in 1972, you become the head basketball coach at Rochester College. How did that come about?
Well, I had a background in playing basketball. I had my degree in, at that time, health, physical education, and recreation. And the basketball coach at that time, he had been there 2 years, and he was a Bible instructor. And he took a position at Pepperdine University, one of our sister schools. So the job was open, and I seemed to be the logical candidate for the position, for that job back then of everybody on campus.
38 years later, 720 wins later, 4 national championships. Garth Pleasant, how did you do it?
I had great kids. When I had the honor of being inducted in the Coaches Hall of Fame in Michigan, I had a number of players there, and I made the comment in all those years, I never scored a basket, I never grabbed a rebound, I never gave an assist or took a charge. You know, I was a recipient of an award that they worked hard for. When I at Rochester College, we just within the last 2 years got our own arena.
Another thing you never did was you never had a home game in 38 years.
Correct. We had a little practice facility, four walls, but we always had to find a place to play our games. And way back then, I decided I wanted to study people who won, who maybe shouldn't have won. I felt there was excuses for me not being able to win, not having a facility, not having scholarship money, things like that. But that wasn't, you know, I wanted to win. And in 1980, I started studying Dick Bennett when he was at Stevens Point, Don Meyer when he was at my alma mater, Lipscomb University. And Jack, I never apologized for what we didn't have. I never apologized. I only promoted what we did have and what we had to offer at the college. And we got great kids who wanted to play ball, who bought into our system, and we were just very fortunate over the years.
You won four national small college championships.
Yes.
1989, 1994, 2004, 2005. Yes. What's that like to win a national championship?
In 89, we won the national championship, Michigan won the national championship, and the Pistons won the NBA championship. And Coach Fisher, Coach Daly, myself had national championship rings. Their rings cost more and were a little bit bigger than mine. But I made the comment, they were no more excited than I was. And my goal was to get to the national tournament. And we got there for the first time in 1982 and got beat. Went back in 83 and got beat. And then my goal was to win a game at the national tournament. And we did that in 86 and in 88. And then in 84, we got to the national championship game. But before that game, I said, if we win and get to the national championship game, I'm going to sleep like a baby. I mean, I'm going to play for a national championship, win or lose. I was wide awake all night. And we lost. We got beat by a team out of Florida, Weber. And then I wanted to win a national championship. If I could just win one national championship. In 1989, we won our first national championship in Madison, Wisconsin. Then I thought, boy, it'd be great to win another one. Then we won another one. And I says, man, it'd be great to win three. And we won three, and I still wasn't happy. I wanted to win four. But, you know, it's... A championship's a championship, no matter what level it is. I could show you films of my players, one young man just doing flips all through the gym down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's just a great feeling.
We're talking to Garth Pleasant. When we come back, we're going to talk to him about the converse of winning, failure.
Okay.
And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Garth Pleasant, who led his Rochester College basketball team to four national small college championships, 89, 94, 2004, 2005. Garth, you won 720 games, but you lost over 400. Talk to us about failure.
Well, these are things I've learned. Failure is only really failure if you don't learn something. And it's okay to get knocked down, but you know, you need to get back up. In 2004 and 5, we had won the national championship, and probably we would have three-peated, but We had one of our better players break some team rules, and we did not have him for the national tournament. And when we knew we weren't going to win, there were a few seconds to go in the game. I called timeout and set the guys down, and I told them, you know, the last 2 years we have won with class, and we're going to lose with class. So I don't want to, you know, I guess say losing is okay, but you can learn from losing. And my point was, when you've been knocked down, we get back up, we evaluate what the problem was, and learn from it. And so I did a lot of getting up and a lot of learning in 38 years of coaching.
Deep down, Garth, what you really are is an educator, a teacher, whether it's on the court, in the class. And that's what a coach is. Yeah. What do all great coaches have in common?
Ooh. Okay. Can I back up a little bit? And I said this, and I heard my son say it. I'd like to think I'm a Christian who's an educator. I'm a Christian who happens to be a coach. I'm not a coach who's a Christian. Okay? To me, the one common denominator is that I believe successful coaches care about their players. We didn't talk a lot about winning. We talked a lot about doing our best, having great relationships with each other, overcoming obstacles. But I wanted my players to know that I really cared about them. We had a transfer a number of years ago from a Division II school. And he said the reason he came to our place was that when I saw him that summer, I didn't ask him about, you want to go to Rochester College? I knew his mother was ill, and I asked him, how is your mother? And then we said a little prayer together. And so I really think really caring about the kids more than a basketball player. You know, they're a person, they're a child of God. And I like to think that they've been put in my life so that maybe I can go back to minister to them.
We're talking to Garth Pleasant, who for 38 years was a college basketball coach. You told me at lunch a few weeks ago that the greatest basketball coach of all time was the Wizard of Westlake, John Wooden. Why was he the best?
To me, it was just the person that he was. I had the honor, privilege of getting to know him a little bit and visiting with him. In my office, I have on my wall a letter that I had received from a university that began by saying, your name has been submitted by Coach John Wooden as a possible candidate for our coaching position. So that's a pretty good recommendation. He was a great basketball coach, but he was a better person. The values that he taught in life, the way that he lived, is what I really admired about him, and how he could take kids from all different backgrounds, and they really seemed to love him. And last year I read the book by Jabbar, I don't know how many years with Coach Wooden, and I found Kareem's email, and I sent him a note of how much I appreciated the book. Now, I don't know him, and I don't know if he got the email because I never heard back from him, but I was just moved to let him know how much I appreciated that.
John Wooden had a lot of great quotes. Yeah. One was, talent is God-given, be humble. Fame is man-given, be grateful. Conceit is self-given, be careful.
Yes. That's one of my favorite quotes. Tomorrow I'm giving a talk to a graduation class of leadership for the Chamber of Commerce in Rochester. And when I talk about leadership, I think one of the most important things is humility. I tell our players, it's no compliment to be called an athlete. You know, you've done nothing to make yourself an athlete. You had nothing to do about being 6'7", you know, like Zion Williamson had nothing to do with being 6'7" or 8", 280 pounds, so explosive. Okay? It's not a compliment to be called an athlete. And we see kids who are great athletes that become very, very self-centered. I always tell them it's a compliment to become a player because now you've worked very hard. And Kent Benson used to say, what you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself is your gift to God. So I tell them, if you're an athlete, it's not a compliment, but if you're a player, that's a compliment, and an athlete who becomes a player is really a special player.
You talked about being humble. A coach that I admired for decades, who I think is really humble, Tom Izzo.
Yes. I've had the honor of getting to know Coach Izzo, and it's amazing. He always takes time for people. I know he's called on so much, but just signing an autograph for somebody. My cousin, her daughter was at the banquet in Lansing, and she's a state grad, and she saw Coach Izzo. And, you know how they feel about him. And I walked up to him, and I said, Tom, this is my cousin's daughter who's at state. Will you take a picture with her? And man, he was just so gracious. And I think he realizes where he came from. And I think there's a lot of humility, you know, in his life. And I really admire that.
Speaking of being revered, for the last 12 years in Ann Arbor, we had Coach John Beilein, who a couple weeks ago accepted the job with the Cavaliers. Talk to us about John Beilein.
Quality man. And again, I think he is very humble. I did a coaching clinic for years with the late, great Don Meyer. And Coach Beilein came and worked with us 1 year. And always so gracious, going back to Coach Izzo. And also, like one of the classes I teach, sports and society, I took my class up there, and Coach Izzo taught the class one day. Coach Beilein was very busy, but what he did, he made a DVD and sent it to us on his philosophy of coaching. And boy, he is, again, great coach, better man.
One more, our great mutual friend, Greg Campy.
Coach Campy. I met Coach when he came into Rochester. I had him over to my house, and him and his assistant, and I barbecued ribs. My youngest son was about 4 at the time, and he was home, and he wanted another rib, and Coach Campy gave him a bone to chew on. But, you know, Coach Campy does so many good things for people, and he never brings attention to himself. I could talk to you about, again, people who were on their deathbed and visiting, and once a young boy had just passed away, and they had just gotten back from a trip, and his assistant told me he didn't even go to bed. He waited till the funeral, and he was at the funeral at 9 in the morning. And Greg has been very, very gracious to us at Rochester College. And we've added a lot of wins to his wins.
We're talking to Garth Pleasant, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Garth Pleasant, professor for 48 years at Rochester College, 38 years head basketball coach. He's also been the dean of students and the director of athletics. And for 30 years, he was a minister for the Lake Orion Church of Christ. All right, 2012, Garth, after 38 years as Rochester College's head basketball coach, you step down and your son, Clint, takes over. So when you're in the stands watching your son coach, what's that like?
It's terrible. And when they're playing for the national championship a few years ago in Pennsylvania, I just got up and I left the stands and went and sit in the lobby. And I get up and go and peek in the window to see what the score was. My other son's coaching at Rochester College. I'm in Rochester High School. And I've left after the third quarter. It's terrible watching the
Okay, speaking of terrible watching.
Yep.
On February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2017, you walk into the Garth Pleasant Arena.
Yes.
You had never had a home arena. What was that like?
When I walked in, I told people, this sounds strange, but for the first time, it really hit me that we never played a home game in all those years. And it was a great experience. And I spoke that day, and I just, my prayer is that that arena might be a benefit to the kingdom of God.
Well, in 1980, you began a youth basketball camp with 21 kids.
Yes.
This summer, 1,300 kids will attend.
Yes.
Over 5 weeks. Talk about the camp.
Well, we started the camp in 1980, and our niche is really kids from about 6 to 12. And we try to teach fundamentals, and but we try to give them more. We have every day a life lesson, maybe not being a bully. What is sportsmanship? Something we say every day to them. No one loves you like your mom and dad and grandmas and grandpas. And so we try to give life lessons as we go through the week. We talk to parents. And the people in the community have been very, very kind to us over the years.
Speaking of life lessons, we have another great mutual friend, Pastor Doug Schmidt of Woodside Bible Church, who him and Caroline are stepping down.
Yes.
Tell us about Doug Schmidt.
Just one of the most godly men I have ever known. So kind. Just has a heart to evangelize and care for people. And his lessons affect me every time I hear him speak.
A few years ago, you wrote the book, Don't Be Afraid to Stub Your Toe. What do you want us to take from that book?
Well, as I mentioned in the book, I was never considered college material. It was something on my bucket list, and it's something anyone can do. But it's just life lessons that I have learned with Christian applications. And again, it was something I wanted to do, and we did it. And it came out last summer, and we sold 500 copies, and they ordered another 500 copies about 3 weeks ago. And I just, I've told people maybe in some way the book can bless them. It covers a random of things. I talk about struggling with my faith a few years ago when, it was a tough year with deaths and various things like that. And I just hope it can be a blessing for the Lord.
Speaking of blessings, you're 70 years old. You're in great shape, but you have phenomenal enthusiasm. Enthusiasm of a teenager.
Yeah.
That's a great gift. How does one get and keep enthusiasm?
I don't know. I just count myself, every day. It's just a blessing. I think working at the college, you know, his working with young people has helped me through that. I love the classroom. And my wife has said, Garth, why don't you just totally retire? And I said, I love my job. I love going to school. I love being in the classroom with young people. And I think they keep me young. And then I love being enthusiastic around my little grandkids. Although the two older ones are at the age where they don't believe everything I tell them anymore. So they're not quite as fun.
Garth Pleasant, what do you hope is your legacy with your former players, your students, and your family?
Well, my family is the most important thing in my life. I tell my grandkids that one day I always, you know, that I want to be with them in heaven. And Josh Graves, who's a minister in Otter Creek, wrote in a book how I always told the players, I'd rather be in heaven with every one of them and never win a national championship than win multiple national championships and not be in heaven with them. And I guess I would say that all I'd want to know is he cared about our lives, especially our spiritual lives.
If a young person thinks they would love to be a coach, how do they get started and what advice do you give them?
Other
than Mary Rich.
Yes. they could enroll in Rochester College and attend my Theories of Coaching class. You know, there's so many things out there, you know, where kids can go and they can learn and just always realize, like, when I first started, I thought I knew everything. I thought I could outcoach anybody. And 38 years later, I'm still learning, you know, my last year of coaching. But I believe there are places they can go. There's clinics that they can go to, like Coach Izzo, Coach Beeline. You know, they're very good at talking to young people, go to practices, various things like that. I think there's a lot of opportunities out there.
As our time winds down together, Garth, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Yes, thank you. Father, thank you for this day. And Father, I lift Jack up to you and the work that he's doing and how he proclaims your gospel. Be with us today and help us to truly be your servants. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Garth Pleasant, you've been a phenomenal coach, preacher, husband, father, grandpa, professor, friend, storyteller, but most importantly, a true follower of Christ.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula, and thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoho. Believe in yourself.